Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We're glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. It is good to be together and to be in the house of the Lord on a day like today. If you are our guest, we're especially grateful that you've decided to worship with us, and we ask that you take just a moment to fill out the connection card, which you'll find on the inside edge of each pew. This just gives us an opportunity to learn a little bit more about you. If you have a prayer request or anything that you would like to communicate back with us, there's room on the back for you to write that in. And if you're a member and you'd like to take advantage of that opportunity to tell us a little more about yourself or a little more about what you'd like us to pray for, you are also invited to do that on the connection card. You all can turn those in during the offering time as the plates come around, and we look forward to hearing from all of you in that time. Today in worship, we are reading scripture from Luke's gospel. We're reading another parable, this one a little bit less familiar than some of the other parables that we've been reading during this season of life together. Today we read the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. And as we consider the state of our spiritual lives, whether we are coming to this space full of God's Spirit and ready for whatever comes our way, or whether we come into this space a little bit weary from the journey of life or from the week that we are ending or maybe the week that we are about to anticipate. However we come to this space and we come knowing that God is calling us to persist in our faith. And yet we come with the promise of a God who persists toward us as we move toward God. God persists toward us. So as we think about that concept of a persistent God and a persistent people, we ask that God's Spirit blow open the doors to the sanctuary and blow open the doors of our hearts and illumine us. And as we prepare for worship, we ask God to open us heart, mind, body, and soul to the movement of the Spirit and the call of God on our lives. Let us worship God together.
Listen to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Join with us. The words are in your bulletin. Let's sing together. Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Very good. How are y'all doing today? Good? Good. I'm going to show you a picture, and I want you to tell me what you see. What do you see? Seasons. Okay, what else do you see? Snowflakes. What else? Sun. But what are you looking at? It's a window. This window is in this church at least 6 times. Have you seen it? It's right back there. And it's at the front of the church, but it's in other places too. Do you know all 6 places? It's in the fellowship hall on either side of the church, and it's out in the hallway at both ends. So this is a window. And we're looking in the window inside the church. And what do we see? We see seasons. How many seasons do we see? 4. And what season are we in now? Fall. Which one is fall? The first one? Okay. What comes after fall? Winter, which is? And what comes after spring? What comes after that? Summer. And do these repeat?
Yes.
So they kind of repeat in a pattern or a what? In a circle. And what's the direction of that circle? It's not counterclockwise. It's clockwise. Right. As a clockwise, two-dimensional rotation similar to the hands on a clock. So the seasons repeat in a clockwise fashion. Okay? Now, I got to ask you a personal question. Do you have rhythm? You do? What is rhythm? What is rhythm? So if you clap, if you're clapping your hands in a certain song or something like that, they have to be what, even and on time or something? Is that right? Okay. How do you spell rhythm? I'm going to give you 3 choices. You got rhythm and rhythm and rhythm. Which one is the right choice? The first one? Is that right? There's no E in there. Rhythm. 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 Rhythm, that's not it. Rhythm, that's not it. That's it. Does everybody agree that's it? Okay, rhythm. Okay, what is rhythm? Okay, you told me about clapping. Is there anything else about rhythm? All right, what is rhythm? Rhythm, a strong repeating or regular pattern or sound. Now, do you have rhythm? You have rhythm. You have rhythm? You have rhythm. Here's another very important question. Do your parents have rhythm? Are you sure they have rhythm? Because, you know, if they don't have rhythm, we can't continue. So they have rhythm too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Do other things have rhythm? We're talking about the seasons. You know, every year you have winter, spring, summer, fall, and it repeats. So there's a certain rhythm about it, okay? What else has rhythm? Does the church have rhythm?
Yes.
And why does the church have rhythm? And how does the church have rhythm? Is the church open for business every Sunday? Yes. And the church has programs every year, right? And they repeat that every year like a pattern, right? So the church has rhythm too. And what fuels, what makes the church rhythm go? Well, there are people in the church, but what makes the rhythm go? What makes the church rhythm repeat? People giving. People giving of their time and their talents and their resources. So when people give, the church keeps going. Do you understand? Make sense? Now, you said you had rhythm. Do you know how to snap your fingers? Is that rhythm? You sure? Can you snap your hands? Hey, that's pretty cool. Now, can we wrap this up in a little song? It's called Stewardship Rap. Remember the clock? Clockwise go the seasons of giving, and many opportunities for our faithful living. It's a natural rhythm every year as we recalibrate, growing gray stone cheerfully as we humbly celebrate. Now, there's a chorus to that that we've sung before. Stewardship. Stewardship, it's always on my mind. Whatever you decide to do, be practical but kind. Take care of God's creation and all that comes your way. Be generous and giving, the Bible verses say. Thank you. Come back to your seat.
Please join me in prayer. God, it's that time of year when our days are filled with the wonder of fall. Pumpkin patches, state fairs, local festivals, football games, complete with homecoming festivities, fill our weekends. Pumpkins, gourds, fall leaves, and mums adorn our homes and our porches. We're pulling out our sweatshirts for the chilly mornings, yet we bask in the bright sunshine in the afternoon sun. We give thanks for the nourishing rain, and we look forward to the beauty of the falling leaves. even if it means we have to rake them. For many of us, fall days are the best and are filled with a bit of carefree energy that brings us rest before the busyness of the holidays. Let us remember, though, that these days are not as carefree and beautiful to all. There are many for whom chilly nights and mornings brings bone-chilling pain. There are many who ache for a warm place to lay their heads and a hot meal to fill their bellies, and their ache is growing. They know that winter is soon to follow. For others, the Christmas decorations that are competing with the pumpkins for attention are a reminder that the holidays are coming. They won't be the same this year, and they haven't been the same since they lost the one whom they loved. The hint of loneliness in the sorrow that is to come is almost too much to bear, and it's still only October. For still others, the season doesn't even really matter. The seasons all fade into the background of a life filled with worry, strife, and sorrow. They are fighting to keep their job, their marriage, their relationship with their parents, their sibling, or their child from completely falling apart. They're in the fight of their lives to keep their health in check, either physically or mentally. There are those who are fighting to stay safe and to keep their children safe from those who claim to love them, but their actions are just the opposite. Across the globe, there are many who live in war-torn countries, fleeing to safety, fighting for justice, and trying with all that they have in them just to survive. They are pleading with anyone who will listen to stand up for them and with them and make the world safer for their little ones. There are many who are still trying to pull their lives back together after a war or natural disaster have torn it apart. There are many who fear for their lives daily because their faithful determination to hold on tight to their religious belief outweighs their need to bow to government rule. Help us this day to understand that our season is just that, our season, and it is likely different from those around us near and far. While we still give you thanks for the good seasons in our life that bring us joy and delight, we pray for those who are in a much different season. For those who are hurting, we pray for their healing. For those who are mourning, we pray for comfort. For those who are oppressed, we pray for justice. For those who are hungry, whether it be for food for the body or food for their soul, we pray for sustenance. We pray for those who are lonely, that they might find companionship. We pray for those who live in fear for any reason. We pray for their safety, and we pray for peace. God, help us to be diligent and persistent in these prayers, reaching beyond ourselves and loving others, even when we aren't quite sure how to do so. Help us to love beyond our comfort zones and beyond the boundaries of our own homes and communities. Help us to see the many ways that we can be the light in someone's dark season of life. Give us the courage to actually respond to what you show us. May our love, our prayers, and our actions be as persistent as your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we continue to remember God's faithfulness and his mercies, which are new every morning, let's join together in singing hymn number 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand together.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come this morning to return a portion of that you have given us, we come offering not only these portions, but our entire lives for your purposes. We bring our talents, our money, our gifts, our whole lives. Now, Lord, take this small portion, use it for your purposes, and help us reflect your light in the dark places we encounter each day. Amen.
Verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Every hour, he gives me power. I will see.
That really was the whole message in music, wasn't it? As they're singing, I can hear the voice of the persistent widow singing right along with the choir. He never failed me yet. Well, I also need to confess, my friends tell me that eventually my daughter will reach an age where I have to quit telling on her in sermons, or I'll end her up on a therapist's sofa. But I'm banking on an assumption that maybe we're not there yet. Those of you who were here on Wednesday night, you may have noticed that Mia, my daughter, showed up wearing her winter snow boots and a pair of athletic shorts and a zip-up hoodie. It rained some on Wednesday, and the boots are rubber. It was less than 80 degrees, so I told her, sure, why not? It's a great day to break in those snow boots. But wear some shorts, because otherwise you're going to be really hot. We brought them home about a month ago. And ever since, almost daily, Mia's first question is, what's the temperature today? Is it cold enough for me to wear my boots? See, kids aren't very good at waiting, are they? Wednesday morning, I thought that wearing the boots was the end goal until she had them on her feet and immediately took off for the bathroom. What are you doing? I asked. I'm getting on the scale, she said, as if I should have just known that's what she was doing. Oh, I said. That's weird, I thought in my head, but I didn't say it. Mommy, what's 5, 5, and then a little 5? She hollered out from the bathroom. Well, that's 55.5, 55 and a half pounds, Mia. Is that close to 80? And then it hit me. Mia was not only waiting for an opportunity to wear the snow boots, Mia was waiting on the cold weather so she could wear the snow boots so that she could get on the scale and see if she had reached that 80-pound threshold of freedom. 80 pounds, or 8 years old. Whichever comes first, that's when you finally grow out of the car seat for the last time. Now, I know, and you know, that once she gets out of that high back booster, things are not going to be all that different. She can already see out the windshield. She can already reach the button to roll the window down. She can turn around and look out the back. She can stretch forward and pick up her toys if they fall on the ground. She wears the same seatbelt, the one that crosses over her shoulder and then again on her lap, the one that restricts when I hit the brakes and the one that allows freedom when I'm not hitting those brakes. But still she waits. She waits with hopeful anticipation and expectation that one day, really any day, between now and her 8th birthday, depending on a whole host of variables, including her wardrobe, she might meet that 80-pound mark. Well, silly as all this sounds to us, those of us who have long passed the 80-pound mark, those of us who have long passed the 8-year mark, all this sounds silly, except for we all understand how hard it is to wait. We know the difficulty of waiting on the things that we are expecting or hoping for. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus teaches the disciples a little bit about waiting. And he uses a parable, which we should have come to expect it by now. Just one chapter earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus is confronted with questions from some Pharisees and the disciples about when is the Son of Man returning? When will God's reign be ushered in? When will God's kingdom come? The assumption is, of course, that God will come and fix everything, that God will burst into our world with solutions to all of our problems and turn it all around. The expectation is that God will do the things that Jesus is talking about when he moves throughout Galilee, proclaiming that the sick are healed and the blind can see and the captives are released and those stuck in cycles of poverty that they will be forgiven their debts, just like in the year of Jubilee. The hope and the expectation is that when the Son of Man returns, all of this will come to fruition. But rather than giving the Pharisees and the disciples who had crowded in, rather than giving them an answer about when the Son of Man will come, Jesus responds telling them that we don't know the day or the time when God will return. But we do know that it will come like a flash of lightning when it is least expected. But more than that, Jesus issues a call to faith, a call to persistence, a call through the parable that follows in the next chapter, the one that we read today. A call that reminds us not to focus on that which we cannot know about tomorrow, but to live with faith today while we wait. Often we think about waiting periods as passive and helpless, not much we can do. I wonder if the disciples felt that way too. Times of waiting in our lives are often forced upon us. They are not chosen by us. And so often we approach these times feeling helpless. Sometimes we just scroll on our smartphones and hope that the moments might pass us by. We wait to learn the results from a medical test or procedure. We wait to hear how surgery went for a loved one. We wait to see how long that recovery period will take. We wait for that acceptance letter, for that second job interview. We wait for the old house to sell, and we wait for the closing date on the new one to arrive. We wait for the next paycheck to come so that we can pay those bills and breathe for just a moment. We wait for the baby to be born. We wait for the grandparents to come to play with the baby. We wait for our grass to grow. Many of us waited for the state fair to come. There's so many things for us to wait for. No matter where we are on our journey of life, it seems that we are always waiting on something. Like my little girl waiting for cold weather so she could put on those snow boots, and waiting for 80 pounds to come so that she can get out of that car seat. We are always looking around, dreaming about what might be, hoping for our tomorrows and passively living our todays. Funny thing is, so many of those tomorrows are built on the actions we might take today. But from the middle of our waiting, often it seems like there isn't a whole lot we can do, right? So we sit and we passively wait and we watch time tick by. We dream about that month when the budget works out like we've planned, when there's no surprise, when we can actually save a little bit. We look forward to the day when we can both live comfortably and give generously. We hope for a different kind of world to pass along to our children, one where people get along with one another, one where hatred and conflict exist no more, and one where our children are safe no matter where they go, one where joy and laughter aren't so far away. We wait for these days. Even though everything that stands between here and there seems too large to overcome, we wait and we pray and we ask for God's help and we keep waiting. Sometimes even our faith journeys can seem like an exercise in passive waiting. We wait for God to speak to us. We wait for God to show us a way, to open up a path before us. We wait for God to heal our bodies. We wait for God to calm our anxieties. We wait for God to mend our brokenness, or even just to give us a sign that God is still there listening. We read stories in our Bibles promising us that God is with us, that God can hear us, that God cares for us, and that God is willing to speak to us. And yet in the here and now, sometimes it seems like the only thing we hear from God is utter silence. Where are you, God? We may want to pray, and we wait. It's from these familiar places of exhaustion that we come to the parable today. We easily can relate to the widow torn and tossed about by the difficulties of life. We find solidarity with her and her sense of injustice. How easy it is for us to name those times in our lives when we've been wronged, when we have waited for resolution. We can identify with her. We know what it is to plead our case to no avail, don't we? But unlike us, this widow, she does not tire, she doesn't wear out, she doesn't give up, she persists in the face of injustice. She is an active waiter, Luke says. She prays and she demands resolution. And as she persists, she becomes a role model for us, an active waiter, a woman who will not give up no matter what she's up against. When contrasted to the judge before whom she pleads her case, the widow's faith in God and humanity, they are strong enough to keep her working, to keep her fighting, to keep her praying and advocating for justice. She persists. And unfortunately for this persistent widow, her opponent is not just any old judge, but he's a judge who is untethered to any kind of moral framework. The text says he fears neither God nor man, and it seems that he has no respect for Torah law, which he is responsible for upholding. For if he did, he might take special care for widows and outcasts and orphans and foreigners, for that is what the law requires. But since he has shown that he will not be swayed to rule in her favor because of moral obligation or because of the sake of justice itself or even an attempt at his own personal righteousness, the widow's only option is to persist and to hope that somehow, some way, justice will come. In the original language, the verb used is one that describes something kind of like an ancient boxing match. So the widow relentlessly pleads her case like a boxing opponent, throwing punches, the commentaries say. So fearing a direct blow to the eye, in the Greek, the judge finally rules in favor of the widow, and he delivers the justice that she so desperately pleads for. What a strange way for God to communicate about God's relationship with humanity. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Even the one who is untethered, who is immoral and completely selfish, will tire and will eventually respond. How much more does God care about you? He will quickly grant justice to them, Luke promises, to those who cry out in need, to those who persist in faith and do not give up on God. God will persist. But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? God will be faithful to us, the gospel insists, quick to respond, not like the unjust judge. But the question becomes, will we be found faithful? Will we persist like the widow? Will our faith persist as we wait for God? It seems this simple parable contains both a challenge and a promise for us today. If we are going to be found faithful, we must be a persistent people. A people who do not passively wait for God to come in and fix our problems, but a people who remain actively engaged in the process of justice making today. A people who pray and act, working together with God and working together with one another to make peace where there has only been violence, to bring healing where illness prevails, and to mend all that has been broken. We are called to persist in our efforts of building God's kingdom. Against all odds, we are called to persist in mending all that is broken. We're called to put our prayers to action. Rather than just saying the words, we have to act like God's kingdom might actually come, like God's will might truly be done on earth as it is in heaven. We must persist in bringing this and every prayer to life as we wait for God to come and redeem our world. And when we are tired, when we are broken, when we are starting to wonder if God is ever going to come and redeem this thing at all, there is good news. As we persist, we draw nearer to a God who is persistent. A God who also, like the widow, does not grow tired of reaching out a hand of grace and compassion and mercy. As we persist, we move towards a God who is quick to answer. A God who hears our cries for help and is eager to respond, healing our illness and mending our brokenness so that we might be strong enough to turn around and do the same thing for somebody else. Sometimes we're called to persist even if we don't know what God is up to. Thinking about this church, 35 years ago, I bet our founders had no idea what kind of church would be here, and yet they persisted in their faith. And they probably couldn't have imagined that we who were their mission would help to support another mission one by the name of Shiloh Restoration Church that would become a spiritual home for refugees in this area. And under the leadership of Felix and Nicole, Shiloh Restoration Church has started yet another mission in the Congo. It is a new church that ministers to orphans and widows and natives and migrants alike. This week, I sat in a room and listened to pastors Felix and Nicole tell stories about their recent trip to the Congo. They told me stories about seeing children who were starving, who had one meal every 3 days, who lived in houses the size of many of our closets, who climbed into beds at night that were made of cardboard boxes. They told stories of children who wanted to go to school but couldn't afford the tuition, which amounted to about $50 a year. A few months before their trip, Felix and Nicole heard a call from God to go to Congo and to see the church that they were starting. They didn't know what God was up to, but they listened to God's call to go. They persisted. And they went to this place, and they saw that where the new church was being planted. They participated in the installation of the new pastor. A few months ago, they didn't know what they might experience, but they persisted, and they went. And while they were there, they met 48 children who wanted to go to school. And Felix and Nicole brought that news back. They persisted. On Saturday, November the 2nd, here on our campus, children from all over North Carolina will come and participate in CBF's Children's Missions Day. And the offering that they give that day will go to support those 48 children who just want to go to school. This is just one example of what persistence looks like. This is just one example of what happens when we pray and act and we listen to God's direction. And while we listen, this is one example of what it looks like to build up God's kingdom here on earth. We may not be able to see the big picture every moment along the way, but we do know that the God who calls us to persist in action and in prayer is persistent in bringing about God's vision here on earth. This is one way that God has called us to persist. What else might be God asking us to do? Just as our founders didn't know the whole plan, they didn't know how things would work out, they didn't know that their tiny little mission would then grow to build another mission, which would grow to build another mission, which would come right back here with another opportunity for mission. All they knew was that the gospel required small and faithful steps, small and faithful persistence lived out every single day. We may never know how God is using our actions for the bigger picture. We may never know how God is working within us personally to bring an end to our pain, to end our brokenness, to mend our lives. But we can rest assured that just as God calls us to persist while we wait, God is persisting toward us in that waiting. God is quick to comfort all that is broken. Our God is a persistent God. The question is, can we wait with active persistence? Can we speak out on behalf of those in need of justice and cry out for those in need of healing? Can we pick up and carry the baton for those who are weary, all the while keeping the faith that just as much as we persist, God also persists in our direction, bringing us the justice and the redemption and the healing that we all so desperately need? When the Son of Man returns, I wonder, will he find here at Greystone a passive people, helplessly and perhaps hopelessly waiting for God to return and fix it all? Or will he find a faith that persists in action? You know, thinking about all this, I wonder, maybe kids really are good at waiting. Maybe they're better than we are. Maybe we could learn something from their ability to wait with active persistence, refusing to accept things the way that they are and always looking for an opportunity to get just one step closer to that unlikely goal. After all, if you and I looked for ways to build up God's kingdom here and now with the same fervor that Mia reaches towards that 80-pound mark, who knows what God might be able to do here? Will you wait? Or will you persist? As we enter our time of response, we are all aware that God is persisting, calling us forward, calling us deeper in relationship with God's own self. So as we sing this hymn of response, I wonder if God is calling any of you to come forward and profess your faith, to profess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and that you want to live the rest of your life following after him. If that's you, if that is how God is calling you forward, then come on down and let's celebrate that together. Or maybe God is calling you to join this church formally. Maybe you've been visiting for a while, and now you know that this is the community to which God is calling you to come and actively persist with us while we wait for God to come and redeem the world. If that is you, then come on down, and we want to celebrate that with you as well. However God is calling you forward, take advantage of this moment. And I invite you now to sing and respond as appropriate.
You'll take out your hymnals and turn to number 491. Let's stand together as we sing, Jesus, I Come.
If y'all would please take a moment and sit back down. I have someone that you know who I want to make sure you all can see. So come on up, Charlie. Not that he's vertically challenged. You can see him if you're standing up. So this is Charlie Vestal, as you know. Charlie is probably the definition of a child of this church. Many of you have seen him grow, and you have watched him grow in his faith. Charlie is the son of Cindy and John Vestal. Cindy was our youth minister for a long time until she got sick and the Lord called her home. But we take great joy in knowing that she is a part of the great cloud of witnesses. that is here with us today and that is joyful and celebrating this significant moment. So Charlie comes to profess his faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and we celebrate that with him. If you join with me in gratitude and celebration of what God is doing in Charlie's life and in this church, then please say thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
So Charlie, you know this better than anybody else. But when people come and they want to be baptized here and they profess their faith, it's our custom to stand together and to say our mission statement. So would you stand and we will do that now? Oh, he's got it memorized. The mission statement, for those of you who don't have it memorized, is on the back of your worship guide. You ready? With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. So you'll have a moment to welcome Charlie individually and to celebrate this with him after the Call Church Conference, after the worship service today. And John believes this may be the first time in our history that we've had that opportunity. So I think that's totally appropriate. So Charlie, I'm going to ask you to sit over there just for a moment. And as we celebrate, it is also our custom to share the peace of Christ with one another. And we do it like this. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share God's peace with one another. Whenever you play it, that's when it'll be. Yeah. It is good to be together. I can feel the joy in the room. There's much going on in the life of our community, and I want to lift up a couple of opportunities for you all to get plugged in. I've already alluded to the fact there is a Called Church Conference immediately following the postlude today. So I hope that all of you who are members will stay for that. We're going to hear from the interim Minister to Students Search Committee. They have a recommendation for us that we would love for you all to stay and to hear. Also, there will be a Leadership Council meeting following that Called Church Conference. So we hope that as many of you as are interested and have a piece to report will come and attend that Leadership Council meeting in the Fellowship Hall immediately following the conference, immediately following the postlude today. Also, next Sunday is another jam-packed day in the life of our church. At 8:45, we will baptize 5 members of the Ngandu family. You were here when they made their professions of faith, and so we will baptize them and celebrate that significant milestone for them at 8:45. At 11 o'clock, we will have a shared worship service with Shiloh Restoration Church with at least 9 more baptisms. So we are going to be in the water next Sunday morning, and I hope that you will come and plan to spend the whole day with us. After that worship service at 11, there will be a covered dish meal for all of us, members of both congregations. So you will have an opportunity to eat good old Southern American food and good old African food. And I don't even know what that means, but I'm excited. So come hungry. Also, don't want anybody to forget, on October the 30th, a huge event for our children's ministry and our outreach ministry, Trunk or Treat. So it's an opportunity for you to come in costume, to decorate the trunk of your car, and to give out candy to students who will come and visit our cars. That's October the 30th. If you have any questions about that or if you'd like to sign up, please see Pastor April after this service. That being said, let's sing our sending song.
Let's sing together.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, as you go and you leave this place to go and live your faith out in the world, go now with this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.